You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to Football to the Max. Yes, this show has changed its name. It's going to pretty much stay the same, but we figured that it was kind of pointless to have the football on the other end and wanted to change the logo and everything. So, you know, we don't do soccer anymore on this podcast. I know some people will lament that. But, you know, football is kind of going to be our focus, and that way we can have a name that's kind of appropriate for that. Hopefully everybody likes the new logo, and you should notice that if you listen in iTunes, and I don't know if any of the other places it's changed already, but iTunes, it did already change over. So you shouldn't have to do anything to your feed. It should be the same. It should just say Football to the Max with the new logo instead of the old one, so...
And if you're hungry for some football and you love soccer and it's your thing and you're going to miss that portion of this show, send your feedback to us. Let us know that you want that content. We need to know that because we'll make it appropriate. We'll find a way to get you that content. But, you know, we want some feedback here, so send it our way.
Well, part of it's also Matt moved to Colorado and he, you know, he's busy. He's got a job now. You know, he's a big honcho over there at Last Word on Sports now, too. So he's got a lot on his plate. He's got the other soccer podcast that they do over there that's, you know, big time now. They got big time guests and everything. They had Eric Winalda the other day and everything. So, I mean, you know, for him now to have time to do two podcasts, that's going to be rough. So yeah. It's also, I got to be able to have my partner back, and I don't know if he's going to have time.
And, you know, the W2M network is big, and we are adding shows, and, you know, this is great because we've got so many different pieces of content coming onto the W2M network, and I think even if it's something that we personally don't have our hands in, I'm sure there's some guys out there who know football backwards and forwards, and they want to talk soccer all year round. I'm sure we can get another podcast, and maybe you know someone who does a podcast and doesn't have a home. Let us know. We'd love to hear their podcast, and maybe they can join the W2M network. I think it's something we'll eventually have, and maybe your guys can get in first.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Randy, I mean, you haven't talked yet, so how do you feel about the whole...
I know nothing about soccer, so I'm just keeping quiet.
No, I'm not talking about soccer. I'm just saying, how do you feel about, you know, the new name, the new... all that?
I was finally able to change my underwear. Figured it was a good time to do that.
You gotta give it credit.
Taking a crap on the whole, you know.
You gotta give credit to Randy though, because Randy's the guy that came up with this idea, and me and Sean sat on it for a long time, thinking we can't do this. Randy's the brilliant part of this equation, and actually gave us this idea to change it to Football to the Max, and maybe a few other shows we're doing. Video Games to the Max is coming your way. I think it was actually a smart move, Randy. We just were so nervous about the change. You know?
By the way, I just have to say, I love our new logo, but the Video Game to the Max logo is brilliant. I loved how that one turned out for you, Sean.
Yeah. Pray to, you know, between me and Gary, we got to pay a hefty price tag, dude. So it's
okay. Hey, it does look nice, and
yes, it does. Quality,
and that is something you could put on a T-shirt, and people would gladly wear it.
Yeah, and he did it fast. So, you know, that's what I appreciate. It wasn't something where we had to wait a long time. And but, you know, now that we've probably alienated people who do not care about the fact that we spent 5 minutes talking about this thing, let's, you know, I'm sorry that we missed a show on Thursday. So to make up, we are doing two shows on the same day, pretty much. So we're doing the show that we were supposed to do, which was the rest of the AFC North with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns offseason analysis. And then there should be another podcast in your feed that says offseason analysis of the Buffalo Bills and New York Jets. So that way we are caught up so that on Thursday, which unfortunately Randy will not be here for because he's got to do his – hopefully makes a ton of money for Extra Life stream – Gary and I will have people for the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. So, you know, hopefully that all goes well without our, you know, esteemed co-host, Mr. Randy. But he will be doing something great for charity. So
definitely. Totally cool. It's awesome.
So we are going to talk about a few things before we get to our interviews here. First off, there's been a few more players that have been franchise tagged. Of course, the deadline is later today at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern for those franchise and transition tags. And then on the 15th of March, free agency officially opens. So it's going to get hot and heavy here pretty soon. We're going to be talking about a bunch of players moving around, a bunch of players staying. We'll get to that. We're going to kind of split up the news between the two shows. So we're not going to have it like be a news heavy show here. And then just, you know, the two teams next, you know, for the next show, it's going to be split on the news between what we've seen in the past week. And so, and some of these are kind of no brainers, but, Randy, I guess we can start with your team. You know, Muhammad Wilkerson gets the franchise tag for the Jets.
Yeah. And I really was expecting this, especially once they got rid of Cromartie. They're not going to franchise Fitzpatrick. They're hoping to re-sign him. And really, when you look at the rest of the free agents for the Jets, there just wasn't really any options. And you really have something with that defensive line, and they wanted to make sure they kept that all together.
Gary, the Ravens followed your theory, and they franchise tagged Justin Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a smart move because this guy is definitely a asset to their team. I know it sounds funny, a kicker, but this guy, you know, is really accurate. He's a guy that you can depend on, and sometimes these games do depend on the kicker. Really, the rest of this team, I don't think it really needed to be dropped on anybody else. That team is kind of rebuilding, trying to get better in other ways, and I think that this is a move that's going to keep them going and at least make them stable on special teams for sure.
The Bears did the no-brainer and franchise-tagged Alshon Jeffrey. I don't think they had another player that was even near his stature to franchise tag. So, yeah. Cordy Glenn, who you will hear our interviewee discuss for the Buffalo Bills, a left tackle, is expected to be franchise tagged by the deadline tomorrow for the Bills. They definitely need offensive line help, so they got to make sure they keep him. And the Rams decide to franchise tag one of their cornerbacks, Trumaine Johnson. He was due to earn $13.952 million if he didn't get tagged. So, and they still got to deal with, this allows them to go after and sign Janoris Jenkins, their other corner, if they want to, instead of having to deal with figuring out how to sign both of them. So, I mean, you think this is the smart choice for the Rams here?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that a smarter choice is to get Jenkins instead of Johnson. Just, I think it's whichever one was going to be cheaper as far as signing long term right now is the way to go, and then they can sign the other one next year. So it's a smart move.
Yeah, and the whole reason that they dumped all these guys that were like, wow, that's a lot of guys to dump, is because of the fact that they are watching their P's and Q's and the salary, and the salary cap is just a beast of its own, and they're worried about it just like every other team is worried about it. So I think cheaper is the way to go for them. That's what they're following, that formula, and I really think that they feel like, you know, they can fit other people in these positions, and maybe that's through the draft or through other free agents.
And, you know, a player that both Christopher Hill and Randy talked about as one of the premier, or could be one of the premier kickers in all the NFL, Marquette King, has been signed to a long-term extension by the Raiders. And now they're going to go after their left tackle to make sure they get him down as well. So, smart move by the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw it in the Super Bowl. Punting was a very underrated part of that game. So, yeah, absolutely. You want to make sure that you have one of the best punters in the league. Make sure you keep him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we just talked about Justin Tucker getting a franchise tag and then this guy getting a big deal, and he's a punter. These special teams players are important. People kind of overlook them. They don't think the special teams is a big deal, but it really can change a team. We've seen guys that have left teams, and when their special teams units start to fail, everybody's scratching their heads. Well, they forget some of these guys are really important to the team. So I think smart move.
The Lions are trying to go after 25-year-old George Ioka, the safety that you're going to hear Wyatt talk about in just a little bit, that he really wants the Bengals to get back, and it looks like the Lions might try to outdo the Bengals for him here, as, you know, they did have problems in the secondary last year, especially in the safety position. George Ioka is young, and he's, you know, they were, the Bengals do have Reggie Nelson, so it's not like they would have had to decide on one of them probably. And do you see it as the Lions making it easier for the Bengals to make that decision, or are the Bengals losing somebody that's vital to them if he goes to the Lions?
You know, the safety position in the NFL is such a tough place, and it's a position that really is rare nowadays. I know it sounds funny, but to get a quality safety in this league, it's such a tall task. And once you got one, especially at this guy's age, you keep him. You hold on to him. And I think that's what we're about to hear pretty soon here. And I can understand where the Detroit Lions are coming from, why they'd be interested and why they're willing maybe to outbid Cincinnati for this guy. It's just a tough position to really get cornered in and to settle in, because there's not very many of them that are really that quality.
Yeah, buckle up for a crazy ride. Ioka is one of the many names that you're just going to hear are tons of rumors about over the next week or two or three as people find new homes and teams try to fight for all these free agents. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, we talked about Eric Berry, another guy. There's just so many of these safeties out there that are going to be rumored out, and there are going to be so many rumors floating around.
I think Eric Berry stays with the Chiefs. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I totally agree with you, and I think that's why we could see this guy even possibly staying in Cincinnati. If Cincinnati can afford him, that's the big question. But anyway.
I just think they can't afford both of them. They're going to have to let either Reggie Nelson, who's leading the league in interceptions, mm-hmm. or do you go with a younger Ioka, you know?
Yeah, tough decisions.
Well, speaking of, guys here, speaking of big-time rumors, I mean, this isn't so much a rumor. You know, the Eagles kind of wanted to keep Sam Bradford. They're supposed to be increasing their offer on a long-term deal, but if they can't get the deal done, they are thinking about signing Chiefs backup quarterback Chase Daniel, who Doug Peterson has discussed he thinks is good enough to actually be a starter. He thinks he doesn't deserve to just be a backup his whole career. And then we're the weird one here is trading for Nick Foles again.
You?
I'm stunned in silence. Like, just somebody's got to be like, the NFL's got to be pulling legs here. What?
This is ridiculous. And I just wanted to, my first reaction to this is very Valley Girl. If you ever watch those 80s movies with the Valley Girls or the girls that shop at the mall, ew, gross. Yeah. Ugh, that's exactly my first reaction, because that is terrible. Why would you want to trade for that guy? Go for somebody.
And all the guys that Nick Foles is used to throwing to are not there.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's going to throw to? I think they released Riley Cooper, didn't they? So like all the guys that they're used to throwing, that he's used to throwing to, aren't there. So it's not like he's going to come back and already know all these players he's playing with. It's going to be a whole new thing for him.
Exactly, but my big deal about it is they make one smart move here. They're looking at Chase Daniel. Well, I'm not saying this guy is going to be a world beater. He's not going to be the next, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, anybody. He's a good player in this league, and he has the potential to be better than what he's shown. I think that's very intelligent on their part. I think that is a guy that could possibly be the next guy. Extending Sam Bradford, I'm not sold on, even though I would champion him earlier in this last past season. The trade for Nick Foles, that's just disgusting. So maybe one move could possibly work, but I don't like much of these.
Randy, how could you possibly bring back the guy you just traded away a year ago?
For the same reason why they brought in a Andy Reid guy to coach their team. It's like, they're trying to wash away Chip Kelly by going back to the old regime. So they're like, who is before Chip Kelly? Andy Reid. Well, we can't get him, so we'll get one of his coordinators. Okay, he brought in this Sam Bradford dude. Who is our quarterback before? Nick Foles. Let's bring him back. Let's go back to the way we were and let's completely forget that Nick Foles is terrible.
Randy, I mean, you're exactly right here. But the thing is I think they're forgetting, Andy Reid, his era, everything that worked, that included Donovan McNabb. That wasn't Nick Foles.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah. I don't think the Eagles are thinking, period. But
yeah. Oof.
I mean, they made some good moves in the offseason, giving extensions to, key guys. And obviously they want to deal with Bradford. I think you can still bring in Chase Daniel. And maybe you don't give – I know they want to give Bradford a long-term thing, but I don't know. If I'm Peterson, push to bring Daniel in and just go with him. Don't bother with Bradford, and then what if he gets hurt and you're stuck with – I mean, let's not act like Bradford is the sign of health. I mean, the dude gets hurt every year. They're lucky last year he didn't get hurt for a longer period. I just don't see how you can give a long-term contract to the guy.
I don't either. To me, it's a short-term contract with Bradford. If you want to give him extended time, that's on you. Give him 2 years. So you got 2 years to prove yourself. If you, like, let's say at the end of this year, you prove that you are a guy that we want to stick with, we're going to extend you 5 years after this year. But keep him. Give him 2 years to make him feel like he's getting something. Give Daniel a similar contract. Of course, you're not paying that guy very much money in the first place. He's going to come over expecting to be in the mix, but he hasn't proven a big contract is deserved. I just think those are a couple things you can do and be smart about it. It helps your salary cap. I think it's smart for both parties, and the Eagles also have other things they're trying to worry about. Not only trying to trade for Nick Foles again, they're even considering trading away DeMarco Murray, a guy they spent a ton of money on this past offseason. So that's another thing here. I think this is a kind of a situation where the salary cap is really going to be in flux with these guys.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see as I think they settled salary cap by $155 million. So we'll definitely get to see how much of this money is going to be spent by some of these teams.
What do you think? Well, before we move on, though, I want to know what we think about DeMarco Murray being traded out. Randy, I just got to know. I mean, this is a rumor. This is something that they've actually wanted. Maybe it's more than a rumor. They've been interested in trading away DeMarco Murray.
Oh, my God. The Cowboys are not even bothered.
I don't think they care. They weren't going to pay him in the first place. I don't think they're going to pay him the same. But, Randy, I mean, do you think this is just a knee-jerk reaction? Let's just get rid of this guy. Or do you think they're making a bad decision here?
It's tough to say. I think it's a knee-jerk reaction just because he wasn't the the top of the line guy that they were hoping for, but if that you get the system worked around with Murray and Sproles and really get the 1-2 punch going, like started to work a little bit with Matthews and Sproles, it could work in Philadelphia still. It's just Murray's not going to be what he was in Dallas, where you can give him the ball as many times as Dallas did and think it's going to work out.
Sean, do you think there's anybody that would be interested in actually ponying up probably what Philadelphia is asking for?
Trying to think. You know, the team that we're about to talk about right now, they might – they're probably not too sold on Isaiah Crowell. You got Duke Johnson, but he's definitely a pass out of the backfield guy. The Browns could be interesting. Everybody else that I'm thinking of already has a running back per se. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, there's when you've got like two or three or four running backs in the draft that are going to be nice grabs. I mean, I don't know that somebody's going to, this is going to be one of those that I think you got to wait till after the draft. And somebody will get desperate and be like, oh God, we need a running back now. And they'll pay for Murray. Somebody will pay for Murray.
Yeah, right now his cost is very low. I think the trading value for him is so low that it's going to be tough to get rid of him. But I think you're right, Sean. If an injury happens or maybe a team doesn't get the running back that they wanted in the draft, maybe they make a move. But I just the value right now is not very high.
No, it's not. And the value of Jalen Strong is not being thought of very much either. Or at least he doesn't value what he does very much, as he was caught in a car with Demarius Randall, the corner for the Green Bay Packers, as he had three cigarettes of marijuana in the car as he was stopped by police officers. He was arrested and then released. I mean, this should be nothing. It's like three cigarettes of marijuana. But I don't know if he's going to get... I'm sure he'll get fined by the league and whatever, but just why? Just why do you have to roll around in the car smelling like marijuana and then you think that people aren't going to smell it when they stop you? Oh, and the best thing is you roll around with a car that doesn't have a license plate that you can see clearly. I mean, that's just asking to be stopped, isn't it? I mean, how dumb is that?
It's very idiotic. I just don't understand why these guys don't keep this stuff at home. I mean, not only that, they're getting tested. It's obvious. I mean, we just heard about Greg Hardy having to serve a suspension here. Oh, no, Randy Gregory. Excuse me, I got the wrong guy. Randy Gregory is on suspension for marijuana. And, of course, that's through testing. They didn't co-catch this guy. Jalen Strong... If it's marijuana, it's going to get in your system. It's going to be tested. That's stupid. But even stupider, let's think about the fact that you're doing this in public. Keep it at home, man. What's the problem? Just wait till you get to the house.
Yeah, some football players are just stupid. You know, we get this story too often where I'm numb to it anymore.
I just don't understand the whole, why would you drive around with a car that makes it so much easier for somebody to want to stop you? Like, don't give the police a reason to stop you. Like, having a license plate that you can't see. Just, ugh.
Yeah. But, you know, you're also talking about a young guy here. He's a young man. I mean, he's not a wise veteran. He's young in the league, but not only that, he's young in life. He probably bought the car thinking everything was hunky-dory and just found the wrong cop because he saw that that was not displayed right and pulled him over. There you go. I don't blame the guy so much on that. Maybe if you're smoking marijuana, you should be more intelligent on that. But then again, maybe you're not.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, he doesn't care that much if he's sitting there smoking it in the car or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. Thankfully, it wasn't like, you know, some egregious amount or anything, and it'll just be whatever, you know, it'll probably just be dealt with a total nothing fine and we move on. As we are going to move on from, that's pretty much our news for this edition of the show. We'll cover all the more recent stuff on the edition that talks about the Bills and Jets offseason. So, moving on now, we're going to talk about the Cleveland Browns and all of their turmoil. Before we get to that, though, the Dallas Police Department has given the DA and everybody else in charge up there all their information on Johnny Manziel, and it looks like they're going to move forward with the case. So Johnny Manziel's saga continues, leaving more credence that he's going to be released, I'm sure. I mean, just sad, isn't it?
I think Manziel is just working on being the next season after they do the whole OJ show. They can do the Manziel show after that.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be something?
What does that say about our criminal justice system if that's the, like, biggest criminal case after OJ that you're doing on that show?
I just want to know who's going to get casted as him. That's what I want to know, who's going to be the guy, you know, to play Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, maybe Johnny Manziel himself.
There you go. Hey, he may need the money by then.
Yep. We'll have to see for sure. But so talking about his Cleveland Browns is Sam Beckenstein. I know him from, of course, I'm probably going to reiterate this during the actual first part of the interview, but I know him from when I had a brief time at Page 2 Sports. He also wrote for Bleacher Report for a certain amount of time, but so now he's kind of doing freelance, and he's a big Browns fan, and he's also very astute at the NFL draft. So we might have him on when we do some of our draft coverage. So hopefully you enjoy his interview if you're a Browns fan, or even if you're not, and listen to about 17 minutes and 30 seconds of him talking about those Browns and everything to go along with that. Now, all right, so here we are doing our first show of the day here, our first interview of the day for the podcast. With me is he's a former Bleacher Report writer. I met him being on Page 2 Sports. Unfortunately, you know, that thing is kind of hanging on by a thread. But, you know, Sam certainly knows his Cleveland Browns, and that's why I've got him on here. You know, I mean, it's been a while, man. How you been doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing okay. Just trying to, you know, get through it here. But so, you know, the Browns obviously did not have a season they wanted to have last year.
Not at all.
I thought McCown, though, he did well for himself. Just it's so many. You had a lot of games you were really close and could have won, and maybe that changes some of your fortunes. I mean, you know, then you got to bring in Austin Davis, and you got the whole deal with Johnny Manziel. I mean, just kind of talk about the season a little bit and what you think going forward here. I mean, do you think it's a lost cause on Manziel?
Well, this season ultimately was a disappointment. I mean, no one wanted to see them regress the way that they did, especially after that 7-9 year they had in 2014. But the biggest takeaway was that there are playmakers on the team, and there are a lot of holes they need to fill, and a culture change was necessary. So that's why they brought in Hugh Jackson. But ultimately, I think that was Manziel's last year with the team, all the trouble he got into, and effectiveness on the field, and just the overall inability to do what he was told to do. And it's kind of a sad way to see it end, but it needs to happen in order for Cleveland to move forward.
Yeah, no doubt. He just gave them so many problems, and in some respects, you know, you can say Navy is a bit unfair. He's not doing anything that's totally illegal or whatever. But how do you feel about that? Like, do you think the team was right in kind of putting all these restrictions on him? Or
personally, I don't think they should have put all the restrictions on him, because in the end, he's just a 20-year-old kid like me, pretty much. But he didn't do what he was supposed to do. You know, he didn't show up for concussion protocol. He wasn't getting it done on the field, and he was causing problems off the field, bringing negative attention to himself and the team. So ultimately, I think he put himself in this hole, but it was kind of unfair to put all these restrictions on him.
So looking at now, you mentioned playmakers, and I think one of the guys that, you know, was told a lot for a lot of people, unknown on the roster, and then he just goes and has a big year. Gary Barnage over there at tight end. Just what did you think about the way he played? And just he was a total like revelation for that team.
I was really impressed. It definitely came out of left field. No one expected to see that, and everyone was really excited to see him get that contract extension at the end of the year because he was playing so well and to get the Pro Bowl nod. So I definitely think they made the right decision there. And we all love to see him play because that kind of embodied the Cleveland Brown mindset. You know, you're a nobody. Nobody knows you, but you come out and play your heart out every time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He made some, you know, incredible plays last year. And now moving forward, you got Hugh Jackson. You know, he was a coach for your, you know, neighboring Cincinnati Bengals team. You got to see him a lot, kind of up close and personal. What does he bring to the Browns?
Well, he really has an air of professionalism about him, and he definitely has the right mindset with a no-tolerance policy of all kinds of nonsense and stuff. I think he'll get the job done. You know, he took a Raiders team to 8-8 his first year as a head coach. I think he can handle that with a more talent-laden roster than what he had there. But I definitely like what Hugh Jackson brings to the table. He's a good player, developer. He has a lot of relationships with his old players, and there's nothing but good things said about him wherever he's been.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you can, you know, that's the thing, too, is a lot of people are going to give him credit for what he did with Andy Dalton this year and the way Andy Dalton's developed, and then, you know, AJ McCarron coming in and doing a pretty decent job. Now looking forward at your quarterback, I mean, do you stay with, obviously Austin Davis didn't work out, but do you stay with McCown and then just draft somebody, or you, because you kind of learn from Manziel, I don't think you want to start whoever it is you're bringing on from that word go, or do you do that? Because we saw with Winston and even Mariota, obviously a different class of player, that they were able to handle the pressure and just do pretty well. You know, Mariota got hurt, but he was doing okay for himself, and we know what Winston did. I mean, what philosophy do you take as far as what the quarterback situation there?
Well, ultimately, this upcoming draft is a really deep class. You know, you got guys like Dak Prescott who could start. They could be picked really late in the draft. Even guys like Jay Coker out of Alabama, Christian Hackenberg, all those guys. So I think it's important the Browns do draft a quarterback in this draft, whether it's with the second overall pick, first pick of the second round, or even later on. But ultimately, if they wanted to start the season with McCown and give whoever it is a chance to get developed, learn in practice, learn from reps, that would make sense. But I think it's important to kind of throw whoever it is into the fire and see what you got immediately instead of wasting time like they did with Manziel. You know, instead of letting him sit on the bench behind Bennett was, I believe, Jason Campbell for some time. Brian Hoyer and other guys, you know, just let them get in the fire, see what they got.
So what do you think they should do with that number two pick then?
Personally, there's a lot of options here. It really depends on what the number one overall pick is, but I'm going to assume that it's Laramie Tunsil for the Titans so they can get some protection from Mariota. But number two overall, you could go a lot of different routes. You could take Joey Bosa out of Ohio State and boost out a defensive line very greatly. You can take Jared Goff out of Cal, Carson Wentz out of North Dakota State. But if you took Bosa, you can wait till the second round, take a Christian Hackenberg or another quarterback later in the draft.
All right, fair enough. So going on to looking at your offseason now, I mean, certainly the biggest problem, I mean, you had quite a few, but the biggest problem that glared out to me, and I think anybody that watched your games last year could tell you, their defense could not stop a soul. So, do you like load up in the draft there? Are you looking in free agency there? I mean, you would definitely say that's a big need, but where do you think,
No
just
doubt.
looking at your needs, saying these are the specific positions that I think we really need?
Well, defensive line definitely needs some help. Recently they released Randy Starks, and the whole Armani Bryant situation with the drug charges isn't helping at all. So I think defensive line help is a big point of need this off season. You have a budding defensive tackle in Danny Shelton and Xavier Cooper, so I think you're good in that area. But defensive ends is a big need. One thing the Browns didn't do last year was get sacks and put pressure on the quarterback. Another position that I could see them looking into is the edge rusher, outside linebackers. That was an area of need too. Last year at times the secondary looked porous, but they missed Joe Hayden most of the year because of a concussion and a lot of other guys due to injury. So I think that one of the biggest positions that they need to hold on to is Tashawn Gibson, the safety. He's able to leave if he wants to. They could put the franchise tag on him, and I think if they can't reach a deal, they should franchise tag him.
All right. Yeah, because I was looking at some of this, I think Tank Carter might be the only other guy that I'd look at and go, maybe you need to come re-sign him, because Coons isn't going anywhere. He can't go anywhere. He's an exclusive rights free agent. And, I mean, Travis Benjamin could probably ask for some money, but do you think
Oh, he
he's.
definitely has leverage this year.
Yeah, I mean. Do you think obviously people are going to come after him with the Browns?
The Titans and Falcons have been mentioned to come after him because they both need some help in the receiving core, and I think he'd be a great fit there. But ultimately, it'd be really nice to see the Browns lock him up for another year because he has that speed that can stretch the field. He can burn people deep, and he showed that this year that he's capable of playing in any kind of role out of the slot, out of the outside. He can do whatever it needs. So I think that's a big priority if I'm Sashi Brown this year, is to get Travis Benjamin locked up for another couple of years.
Yeah, a lot has been made about Sashi not necessarily being a like football-minded guy or whatever. What do you make of that whole front office thing with them?
I think it's a big gamble for sure, considering they got Paul DePodesta out of my Mets to come down to Cleveland. I think it's a big gamble looking into statistics, but it could ultimately pay off. But if it doesn't, it's just another Cleveland Browns move when you reset the clocks and go again.
Yeah, that's also what I mean. It's either like people are gonna blast the Browns for making something silly
No
again,
matter what.
yeah, or it's genius and everybody else starts doing it,
Yeah, they
copycat
could be the
league.
next Oakland.
So I mean, so when you're looking at this, you would say, okay, Tashawn Gibson got to re-sign him, Travis Benjamin got to re-sign him. Anybody else that you're saying? Got to get him back, or?
Definitely Alex Mack, because he was talking about opting out of his contract, and they're currently trying to restructure it or rework a deal with him. He's one of the big pieces in the Cleveland offense. One of the few bright spots over the last couple of years has been the offensive line with him and Joe Thomas. So if there's any way they can keep that intact, you have to get that deal done. Because Alex Mack's such a big player in the offense, because he's such a good blocker, such a solid mind, and a leader on the team that needs leaders.
Certainly. So looking at your draft, looking at what do you think they should, you already, mentioned the ways that you could go. If you're the one sitting there having to make the choices, what do you do with those first few picks?
There's a couple of different avenues you could go, and it ultimately depends on whether or not the Titans select one of the guys that you're looking at. But one of the first options you could explore, obviously, like I mentioned earlier, take Joey Bosa or a defensive player at number two, and then second round first pick, you take a quarterback or a receiver, and then test the free agent market at quarterback or wait till later in the draft. But another avenue you could go Jared Goff or Carson Wentz at number two, and then a receiver like Will Fuller out of Notre Dame or Michael Thomas out of Ohio State at pick number 32 in the second round. Or all you right. could later in the draft and take a guy like Dak Prescott, Jacoby Brissett, any of those quarterbacks who could potentially make a difference later in the draft.
You're saying if you don't take Joey Bosa at first, wait till later on the defense then?
Yeah, because there are a lot of free agents scheduled to hit the market, and a bunch of guys have been released already or scheduled to hit the free agent market that could potentially make a difference. So you could wait till later in the draft, because this is a pretty deep draft if you look into it. There are a lot of big names that could go late that could make differences. And if you're Cleveland, you know you have a couple guys on your team that are talented enough to make a difference already. Like last year's seventh-round pick, Ifo Ekpeolomu out of Oregon, he was a first-round talent until he injured his knee, and they got him in the seventh round. And he's expected to come back this year and make an instant impact. So I think you could wait to take defensive talent, but I wouldn't wait too long.
All right, that's an interesting take on that. Another thing that I noticed a lot last year is that, you know, big deal was made of having both Crowell and Duke Johnson back there, and they seemed to be much more. We saw Crowell do a lot more, you know, running, and he was okay. But do you put that on the offensive line, on the fact that it seemed more like they had to use both running backs as screen backs or just your scat back that you kind of throw it to, dump it off and let them run? Do you attribute to the fact that they really couldn't run as much to that offensive line, or is it that Crow and Johnson just weren't getting the job done?
Well, I wouldn't say it was the offensive line for the most part. Obviously, Duke Johnson, rookie running back, still getting a feel of everything. He was used more of a receiver out of the backfield than anything. But if you look at Isaiah Crowell's numbers, his first year, he averaged a little more than 4 yards a carry, but this past year, 185 carries, 706 yards, average of 3.8. And you look at the most important thing, the touchdowns, that dropped off significantly. Now, he only had 4 touchdowns this year out of the backfield. He was nowhere near as effective as he was the year before that. And if it wasn't for a late tear against a couple of bad defenses, his season would have looked like an utter bust. So, you could definitely explore the free agent market with running backs. You know, Chris Ivory's out, Bilal Powell out of the Jets. There are different options you could definitely go. And even guys in the draft, like you could pick up Devontae Booker late, Paul Perkins, even Derrick Henry out of Alabama. You know, there's a lot of options to improve the position. But to compete in the AFC North, you need to have a good running back. And I think that's definitely an avenue the Browns could look to explore this offseason.
All right, so last question here. Looking at your offseason in total here, what would you like, before you hit training camp, what would you like to see kind of get done with the team? Some of the things, some of the, you know, needs that you want to see kind of plugged. I mean, you know, just looking at everything, what would you say is a good offseason for your team if this, and this get done here?
Well, a couple things that need to get done is, well, as we just talked about, there needs to be a running back added. You know, Duke Johnson's not ready to be a featured back yet. He's more of a receiver out of the backfield. He's a small guy. Isaiah Crowell is definitely not a featured back. I think you definitely look to add a guy there. And probably one of the biggest things is getting Josh Gordon back from suspension. You know, you need that appeal to go through because he's such a difference maker on the field. And as you've seen from when he is on the field, Cleveland's offense looks completely different. You know, he's the biggest receiver on the team at 6'3", 225. He's got experience, and you saw what he did that year that he was able to play most of the year. He put up about 1,600 yards with Brandon Weeden and Jason Campbell as his quarterback. So if they can get him back with a competent quarterback, I think that's a big deal. And another more important thing is locking up guys like Alex Mack, Tashaun Gibson, and Travis Benjamin for the next year. You know, with Hugh Jackson, I think there's going to be a culture change, and it'll definitely affect the Browns in a positive way. So retaining some of your biggest playmakers is ultimately one of the biggest things they can do this offseason.
All right. Well, Sam, I think you pretty much nailed it on the head with looking at your team here. Thank you for helping us out, and we're probably going to do another one of these going around to the teams when the draft is over so everybody can kind of look at their draft. So, you know, we'll be in touch again, but thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You have a good day, sir. All right. Well, what did you guys think about what Sam said there? It's hard to disagree with a lot of what he said. I mean, the Browns do have a lot of options here.
He's very calm for a Browns fan.
He's kind of used to it, he says. But...
he should have to be, huh? I think he had a lot of great things to say here. And one of the biggest things I kind of pointed out, I think it's interesting, he kind of said the offensive line wasn't the biggest concern, which, you know, I can get that. The defense was pretty atrocious last year, and I think that they could definitely use some upgrade there, maybe even over offensive line, though. Like I said in the past episodes, all 32 teams are begging to have a better offensive line, and that's going to be one of the biggest points when this draft comes out. You're going to see tons of offensive linemen that they feel are worth. They're going to be going off the board before some of these lower-end defensive players. The higher-end defensive players are going to go, of course. So I think that was interesting in his point.
Yeah, I agree. It was really interesting to me that he was really focusing on the defensive end as far as draft and stuff goes instead of the obvious. I do think Cleveland's going to take a quarterback. That's what they like to do is try to find their franchise quarterback with their first pick, and they fail every time. I like that he looked at it a different way, going, let's solidify the defense, and, you know, we can get quarterbacks down the line and work that way. So I liked his philosophy. I just don't see Cleveland doing that philosophy.
Yeah. They've proven that they want a quarterback, and they're going to try to get them, and they're hoping one of these will strike, you know, this gold. But, I mean, by his philosophy, yes, if you get a great pass rusher and then you move on and think about quarterback later, even if you want to still draft one, that would be a good play. But, you know, we all know it's Cleveland, so don't expect that.
Do you think that they really stick with Crowell, or do they go find somebody else?
No, I think they get rid of Crowell and they use Duke Johnson and some other free agent running back as their new tandem.
Yeah, do you? What do we think about Josh Gordon? You think he's just going to slide back into the team here, or? I mean,
it's interesting. It really is, because, you know, with this coaching staff and the front office, how are they going to take it, and how are they going to feel about this guy, especially the fact that he's been suspended so many times and he's not making good decisions? It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't try to find a way to get this guy on board, and just because he's such a great talent. And let's say they retain Travis Benjamin. Let's say for some way they were able to afford to keep him on the team. That's a pretty sick tandem. And they could do a lot of damage if they can get their offense on board and get it going to the way they need it to be moving. But I don't know. It's a good question, and I can't say that I can answer that.
Yeah, if you can get Josh Brown to stay on the field and, like Gary said, have him in a tandem with Benjamin, you can go out there and find any quarterback that has a decent arm strength, and he's going to be able to do damage with those two.
Yeah, and that's why I think that they are probably going to go quarterback, because they just want to be done with the whole Manziel thing. They don't even have to think about it. They have their guy, and that's what they're going to go with that. I mean, it's just, you know, they've already Hugh Jackson already said he's going to let him go, and they need a guy that's going to replace him, and who they have there is not the guy. I think McCown's okay, and he's definitely, you can depend on him, but you don't have anything behind him, and you kind of want to be grooming that guy behind him if you can. Yeah, and I think I agree with him that, was it Gibson that he said you're gonna franchise tag? So I think that was kind of your obvious who you're going to franchise tag there. If that's what happens, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to franchise tag Benjamin though, because he's probably – there's probably going to be teams looking at him that are probably going to inflate the price a bit for him.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think that he's one guy that you could possibly try your best, and you could franchise him or do whatever. But, I mean, if you got other options out there – personally, a receiver that's Travis Benjamin, I think you can find another one eventually down the line. If we're talking a top-notch, a receiver that is considered a number one, I don't know that I'm going to get rid of him. I think I would franchise him. Benjamin, I may second guess, but it wouldn't be bad if they figure that that's their best guy to do it. You know, so
I think I'd rather franchise Gibson and really try to work out a deal with Benjamin. They have some playroom with their salary cap going into this. It's just whether Benjamin wants to be part of the rebuilding of Cleveland now, or does he want to go to a greener pasture?
Yeah, especially after they released Starks, and I think they released somebody else that I can't think of right now that left them a lot more room than they had. And I think Randy's right, and what he said is right, that what Gary said just earlier, safeties are a rare commodity in this league, and when you have one like Gibson, you kind of got to do what you can to keep him at this point. But does anybody have anything else they want to say on the Browns before we move it along?
You know, I always hope the best for these teams like the Cleveland Browns, even the Detroit Lions. You know, I just think that they've got a little bit of ways to go here. I think that they can make some moves that could really help their team. I just really hope that they can overcome some of these past failures and just make some smart decisions. I want to see a year with the Cleveland Browns or making waves. So,
certainly. Well, now we move on to the other, the better team in Ohio that has been that way for a while, the Cincinnati Bengals. And doing the interview here is someone that I know, I wouldn't say closely, but I've worked with him for a long time. He's been at 401 Mania for a while. He writes wrestling articles and does stuff in the MMA zone over there. But he's certainly, this is the first time kind of doing podcasts, and I thought he did pretty well for himself talking about his Bengals here. So this is about 15 minutes. Here we go. All right, so here we are with the second interview for the podcast tonight. With me here is 401 Wrestling Zone and MMA writer Wyatt Boger. Did I say your name right?
Sorry. Yeah, it's actually a lot closer than most people get it, so it's good work.
He is a Cincinnati Bengals fan, so, you know, we're going through here and going to try to answer these questions as well as and see if, you know, any Bengals fans out there, you can agree or disagree with what Wyatt has to say here. But, so, first off, looking at this, the season that just passed, you know, you had Andy Dalton had one heck of a year. And looked like the team was, you know, full force, going to be one of these playoff favorites. Everybody was thinking, is this the time the Bengals really go far? You know, win your first playoff game and all that stuff. And then, you know, the bad thing happens with Dalton getting hurt. AJ McCarron comes in, does an admirable job, I thought. And then they wind up losing. But so, you know, does it feel like you think Andy Dalton's finally over that whole thing that people were always giving him crap about, that he doesn't win big games and you can't count on him when it matters?
I would like to think so, but being a Bengals fan, you're kind of conditioned to always look for the worst. So it's going to be interesting to see how this season starts with Hugh Jackson, the offensive coordinator, now departed for the head coaching job in Cleveland. Ken Stampese has been on the Bengals staff since Marvin Lewis was hired back in 2003. He's been the quarterback's coach the entire time, so I'm hopeful that there'll be some continuity there and he's able to keep Dalton performing at the level he was before he got hurt this year. But like I said, as a Bengals fan, we're just kind of conditioned to expect the worst.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got from Sam that I had on earlier with the Browns. He told me the same thing.
Yeah.
Me being a Cowboys fan, I feel y'all's pain.
Yeah, I hear you.
But so, you know, for people that maybe, you know, you're not a Bengals fan, you didn't pay attention that much to the team, maybe you're not a Browns fan either, so you're not sitting there reading up on him. What will the Bengals be missing, you think, without Hugh Jackson there? What did he bring to the team?
Well, I mean, since Marvin Lewis was hired, they've had three offensive coordinators. Bob Gronkowski, who was terrible, maybe the worst offensive coordinator I've ever seen, and I've been a football fan for over 30 years. Jay Gruden, who's obviously the head coach of the Washington Redskins and did a phenomenal job there. Definitely an improvement over Gronkowski, but still, Hugh, just dynamic. That's what he brought to the offense. He was very dynamic, different routes, different formations, a lot of different ways to use all the weapons that the Bengals had on offense between A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert, Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu, even the backup quarter tight ends like C.J. Uzoma and Tyler Croft.
So looking at that season as a whole now, it's gone by. What would you say about the season? Are you proud of it as a fan, or do you feel like they missed out on something bigger? How do you look at it?
At this point, I don't want to complain too much because, you know, I'm not a Browns fan. I'm not a fan of a team that hasn't gone to the Jaguars. They have a great young team. How long has it been since they won a playoff game?
Right.
So I don't want to complain because the Bengals have made it 5 years straight, but it would be nice to pick up that first playoff win in 20, however many years, 26 now, I think. And that the last couple minutes of the Pittsburgh game, that was basically being a Bengals fan since Mike Brown took over the team in the early 90s. That's been the team in a nutshell. You know, you think the game's over, they play terrible for the first 3.5 quarters, then they come back and end up actually taking the lead in the final frame, and then all of a sudden everything that can go wrong does go wrong, and, you know, you lose to a hated division rival. It's just, it was like getting punched in the stomach.
Oh, yeah, we had to watch that as Cowboys fans 3 years in a row. Losing to that hated rival just absolutely sucks. So, you know, I had a Steelers fan on for the previous podcast. So from your view, you're a fan of the person that performed the hit or whatever. What do you think about the perfect hit?
Perfect is a phenomenal player. He gets caught up in the moment a lot. I'm not trying to defend what he did by any means. That never should have happened. He definitely needs to tone it back a little bit, but I'd really like to see him do that without losing the intensity that he brings to the field. He's a wonderful playmaker, a wonderful addition to the team, but he does need to get his head screwed on straight for sure.
Now looking at the offseason now, what do you think are needs the team really needs to address, things you're missing that you can say, okay, we can either pick that up in free agency or the draft? What do you say those needs are?
Depending on who they're able to retain in free agency, because they have a lot of free agents this season.
Mm-hmm.
I like that for a team that for a lot of the first 15, 20 years that Mike Brown was in charge, they were terrible, terrible drafts. Akili Smith, Kajana Carter, David Klingler, they've actually turned into a very, very strong drafting team. So I'd like to see them continue to take offensive and defensive linemen early because that's where you build your team from. Depending on who they re-sign in free agency, secondary is probably going to be a concern. And I think one of the biggest things they need is a dynamic returner, somebody that can maybe be a third or fourth wide receiver but also give them something a little more potent than Brandon Tate. At returner, Tate's a free agent, and I'd really like to see them actually let him go, but I don't think there's going to be a big market for him, so they probably will end up re-signing him. But for every good return he makes four or five boneheaded ones. So, like I said, I'd like to see him go and then pick up a young speed demon in the draft.
So, it looks like, as far, you know, you were talking about those this long free agency list. You know, you've got Leon Hall, Reggie Nelson, some big-time guys, especially Reggie Nelson, you know, led the league or tied for the league in the interceptions.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, you've got Leon Hall, who's come on from having years where he was injured. And then on the offensive side, you talked about getting an offensive lineman in the draft, Andre Smith at right tackle. He's already getting paid quite a lot. You think you sign any of these guys, or?
I think the priority has to be, honestly, on Reggie Nelson, George Iloka, and Adam Jones.
You really bring back Jones? Adam Jones, even though with all the
He's another one that needs to get his head on straight, but he hasn't really been in any trouble off the field in Cincinnati. Two arrests, both times they were dropped. The police were actually warned about harassment after the second one because he actually did nothing wrong and they still took him downtown. So, I mean, he's obviously had some issues on the field, especially this season between the Joey Porter incident and then the rookie wide receiver from Oakland. I'm drawing a blank at the moment.
Cooper?
Yes. He had the incident with Cooper where he slammed Cooper's head into his helmet. But for the most part, he's been in Cincinnati for 5 seasons now. And that dynamic player on defense and as their punt returner. So I think absolutely they should try and re-sign him before they go after Leon Hall for sure. Hall was scheduled to make was on the books for like $10 million last year, and he's not that type of player anymore.
Yeah, definitely, you know, Adam Jones, he could probably ask for a little bit more since he hasn't had the off-field ones, but he has still had, you know, like you said, the on-field stuff, so I wonder how much leverage he would have in that area. It just, Reggie Nelson has proved to be such a huge player for you guys last year. Do you think there's a chance maybe he asked for too much and they just cut their losses, or you think they're really gonna? You think they even maybe franchise tag him, or?
That's a possibility. They don't really like to use franchise tag, I think, because they feel like that player's gonna get overpaid. But you know, that's Michael Johnson go, and they ended up getting him back after the Buccaneers cut him this past offseason. So that worked out all right. But I would really hate to see Reggie go. I'd like to see them franchise him, but I'd actually rather see him put together a deal where he can stay with the team for more than one season.
It looks like, you know, behind A.J. Green, you're going to have some issues with receiver with both Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu, your guys that you're counting on to be those second and third guys, both unrestricted free agents. Already reading a bunch of stuff about Sanu. Looks like he's probably not going to be back because somebody's going to try to overpay him.
Well, with their last two offensive coordinators, both head coaches in the league, and both those guys playing for both of those, for both Hugh Jackson and Jay Gruden, it wouldn't surprise me if they lost them both. I think they're going to try and compete for Marvin Jones. I don't know that they'll go crazy because they do have money tied up in Andy Dalton and A.J. Green and Geno Atkins. Mm-hmm. But, that's probably one that they're going to have to address in the draft, honestly. And that's hit or miss. You know, some wide receivers come into the league and dominate, and some take 2 or 3 seasons to get it right or to get it together. So I would like to see them re-sign one of those guys, but like I said, I'm realistic enough to know that it's going to be difficult.
I mean, receivers are always kind of something that you can find in the draft if you have to.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not the end of the world, and you still have Green there as long as he doesn't get hurt, which is sometimes an issue for him.
Yeah,
that, you know, Dalton loves. So, but it seems like you have, I mentioned Andre Smith earlier, you have both him and Eric Winston, both your right tackles, in as far as unrestricted. Do you just kind of, at this point, you know, you had the issue with the left tackle last year where he wanted more money and had an issue with it, even though didn't he just say, okay, at the end he just played the season and worry about it, or they paid him, or I can't remember exactly what they wound up doing with him, but do you kind of just let it go and just kind of take your losses and pay Winston and let Andre Smith go, or you go the other way?
I think it's all going to depend on the market for Andre Smith. If I think it was 2 years, maybe 3 years ago, he was an unrestricted free agent and was asking for way more money than the Bengals wanted to give him, so they let him go out and test the waters, and he ended up coming back to the Bengals for what they had offered him. I think that could be the case again. You know, back then he was consistently getting graded on Pro Football Focus as like a top three tackle in the league, and he hasn't had that kind of performance the last 2 years, so they may be able to retain him. I think he's probably got a little higher upside than Winston, but that's only because I've seen a lot more film with Smith than Winston, but they tend to do really well with the offensive line, so I'd like to see that continue. You know, they could always draft somebody. This is a pretty deep draft for the line, I believe, if I remember correctly.
So when your whole offseason is said and done, what are some of the things you're saying, okay, we had a really good offseason if we did this, this, and this?
Well, I think you need to retain at least one of the safeties, preferably Reggie Nelson, but George Aloka is so young, he might actually be the better option long term. I would like to see one of the wide receivers come back. I don't know that that's going to be the case. And, like I said, I'd really like to see him pick up a returner in the offseason rather than paying Brandon Tate again. But in terms of just being a success, I don't want to see him reach for anybody in the draft. They've been doing an excellent job of not picking for need, but picking the best player available, and that's worked out really well for him the last four or five drafts. So that's the most important thing to me, because this is a team that's really built itself through the draft. And I'd like to see that continue because their track record with free agents isn't extremely good.
Is there a position you want to see him take with that first pick?
Best available is really what I'm after, but I think safety is probably going to end up being one of the bigger needs, especially if they can't re-sign Reggie Nelson.
All right, Wyatt. Well, I think you answered all of our questions here, man. And well, thank you so much for helping out.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. We'll be doing another one of these like after the draft or whatever, so we'll keep in touch and probably have you on again then.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Yeah. All right, well, that was Wyatt there talking about the Bengals. You know, we kind of already touched on he seemed to have a fondness for George Aloka, and, you know, that's going to be a battle in free agency to get him back. But, you know, he also talked about Reggie Nelson there, and we saw how big he was for the team this year. Where do you go in that regard?
You know, I think that, you know, Nelson's a guy that you just it's a tough decision, but I think Nelson's your guy right now, and you definitely try to find a way to keep him. If it's just unbearable, his price is too high, I mean, you go with the younger kid, but right now, I mean, he's definitely one of the biggest MVPs on your defense, and you want to keep that continuity going. So it's going to be a difficult decision, though, I know, for that team.
Yeah, I agree with Gary. I think you try to go with Nelson if you can only get one. You have to, at this point, feel like you're in a win-now situation. Not a ton of super teams in the AFC. Most of the great teams are in the NFC. So you have to feel like if you could ever get that playoff run to actually happen, you have a team that could make that run. So keep your big pieces and let the future figure itself out as it is now. If you're looking at your team going, we've missed our window, then you go with Aloka and you let go of Nelson.
All right, fair enough. Good take on that. What about the on the receiver end? I mean, you've got that battle with Sanu and Marvin Jones. Who do you go after?
Who do you think? I guess I'll go first on this, and I think that really, I mean, Sanu and Jones both are very, you know, how should I say this? Very compatible receivers. You can use them in many ways, but you know, I just think that both these guys, really for me, if you can't get them at a good price, they're expendable. I really feel that way. Maybe I lean towards Jones, just because I think that he has, you know, a little bit of potential here. He's a little bit younger. If I'm thinking that right, I'm trying to think of their ages right now, but I think Sanu is a little older. But I think I would go with youth in that situation, and I would start looking at the draft, looking at free agency. There's going to be other receivers out there. In fact, you know, Sean, you were talking about that when you were doing the interview. You kind of said, you know, receivers are something you can address in the draft. It's not a big deal. And I don't think either of these guys is at a level where I have to say, man, I've got to break the bank for these guys.
Yeah, I would go Jones as well. He's just been more consistent over the last 2 years. Sanu, this last season, would just disappear at times. And when you have A.J. Green, you need a threat on the other side to draw off the defense a little bit and let A.J. Green get as close to one-on-one coverage as he can. So I think Marvin Jones fits that bill a bit more than what Sanu does.
Yeah, and in fact, if either of these guys' contracts is so big, I mean, I'd be willing to let them both go and spend the money on a major number two guy and then allow the rest of that receiving core be filled up with, you know, maybe guys that are not ranked real high, maybe guys that you pull from the practice squad. I just am willing to do that to help out A.J. Green. I'd do anything possible, and even if it meant giving up two guys that are consistent, you know, and then getting a major number two.
Yeah, and it looks like they got some issues on the offensive line. There with Andre Smith, you obviously kind of want to try to keep, but he has a hefty price tag, and that's an issue you got to look at as well. I mean, it looks like everybody's freaking going offensive line, and not everybody can go there. So you might have to think about it on the Bengals' end. Anything else on the Bengals you guys can think of here?
Go ahead, Randy. You go.
I was just going to say, just Cincinnati's one of those teams I'm really curious about more in the free agent market than the draft. I really think they're out to make a big splash again to become one of those teams that goes from a team that's going to make the playoffs every so often, or they have many times the last few years, but from a team that's it's a playoff contender to this is a Super Bowl contender. So they're going to look for that big move or two in free agency that will push them over the top more so than a big draft pick.
Yeah, and I think that's a definite situation for them that could take place because of the fact that they're right there, they're on the cusp. If they can just get a few more pieces, they could possibly get over the hump here and actually go far into the playoffs compared to what they've done in the years passing, especially last year and the letdown that happened. It was just a giant heartbreak for that team. So free agency is a quick fix, and you try to go with that fashion. I think that's also why they're afforded the best available thought process when it comes to the draft. And not a lot of teams feel the same way. Not a lot of teams are afforded that. But I think the Cincinnati Bengals, honestly, in a way, have that to their discretion. And I think they can do the best available when it comes to the draft. But I'm just really curious to see what does happen here. And, you know, at least, you know, their major positions are covered. Quarterback is solid right now for them. Number one receiver is solid for them. They at least will probably have one safety at their disposal, a defense that's really going to help them. And the rest of that defense is pretty good in order. The biggest concern I have is kind of what he touched on was the secondary, where they could be possibly losing a few pieces in that. And they've been pretty decent in the secondary, so that could be a concern. But that's where free agency comes into play. And Adam Jones, I just want to mention this too. Adam Jones was a discussion piece here in this interview. I think Adam Jones has done a good job staying out of trouble, just like he was talking about in the interview. He's done pretty solid there in Cincinnati, not doing a lot. But if he is going to go away from free agency, or maybe he's having a trouble getting money, I'm sure TNA would pay him. So just throwing that out there, Adam.
Yes. God. I don't think TNA needs to be worrying about buying anyone right now. They need to be worrying about people buying them. Still, I like Adam Jones. I thought he did really well this year. I think the issue with Adam Jones is he still had moments where he was the old Adam Jones, you know, the Pac-Man Jones, and you don't need that. He could have really hurt. He could have really hurt Cooper on that, you know, and that was kind of dumb. It just, you don't need to see that stuff from your team. I get it. It's kind of a mentality on that team, and I thought that Wyatt probably put it more eloquently than many other fans have about the perfect hit and everything. And I'm glad that he understood that, look, that doesn't need to be happening.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? Not to defend those guys, because I'm not going to defend that kind of behavior, but I will say this. That division overall is a very difficult division, especially on defense. I mean, they've got a lot of guys on those defenses that really are hard-nosed, and they know how to play defense. And so, I mean, I think that's it's a kind of reason you get those kind of attitudes, because they're kind of forced into it. But I think, you know, they got to keep their nose clean.
Yeah, for sure. Well, is that it with the Bengals here?
I think so.
All right, well, that probably does it for this edition of Football to the Max. I think we covered the two teams. We talked about the news. And if you're listening to this on demand, there should be another show in that feed there talking about the Bills and Jets. And that's what we're going to go do.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly right. And if you are listening on demand, hopefully you're listening to through the W2M network. If you're not listening to the W2M network, maybe you found us on iTunes. We want to encourage you to go find that network, though, because not only can you find this podcast, but you can find a ton of other podcasts that you may find very interesting, a lot of podcasts that we love. One of them is a wrestling podcast, Wrestling to the Max. The other is Randy's Backlog Busting Project, and that is another great podcast you want to go find. It's all video games, old video games. You can go check that out. Plus, we have a few other video. We have another video game podcast. We have several wrestling podcasts. If that's your gig, you love that. And, just great content on that network. You don't want to miss it. Plus, this podcast is there at your discretion. It's going to be available anytime you want it. It's just right there. Every time we download a new episode, you don't even have to worry about it. It's already there on your player if you go and subscribe to the W2M Network. So go do that. You'll get a lot of cool podcasts. And you'll get just a very easy way to get the content that you want. And plus, just wanted to let everybody know we have a few partners here, and one of those is LastWordOnSports.com, and of course our W2M Network. So I want to throw some love to those people.
For sure. And you'll get to hear representative from that awesome website that I write for, and then of course the podcasts are posted on in the next, episode of the podcast that we do in just a little bit. And of course, rate and review on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever else. That would be much appreciated. Tell everybody what you think about the show, whether positive or negative. You know, if you think we need to change something, let us know. You can also email the show. s.garmer@gmail.com. You can get in contact with me directly, and then I'll let everybody, let these guys know about what you said, and we can answer it on the podcast, or if you'd rather it be answered personally on the email, we can do that. And hit us up on Twitter at W2M Network. And Randy, I know you have your own Twitter.
I don't know. What is my Twitter name?
That's awesome.
Hold on. I appreciate it. Hold on. It's just at Randy Isbell. That's what it is. It's so simple, I forgot.
And Gary, at some point, we'll get back to using Twitter one of these days.
Yeah, I have one, but I don't really use it a whole lot. You can catch me on Facebook or something. We'll get that together. I need to get another separate Twitter. That way I'll actually pay attention to it. Randy, before we go, I'll definitely want you to plug your big project you got coming up this week, just in case someone's a Browns fan and they're not going to listen to this next podcast for some reason. Let's go ahead and plug what you're going to be have happening this next Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've listened to this podcast before Thursday night, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, you can see us on Twitch.tv/backlogbusting, or check it out on Facebook for all the other links or whatever. We will be doing a 24-hour live stream live at my place of business, Lancer Lanes and Casino, where we will be playing video games for 24 hours and try to raise money for the Extra Life charity for the Sacred Hearts Children's Hospital in Spokane, Washington, through the Extra Life guys and the Children Miracle Network, and try to help them get new equipment or new training that they wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. So just a great cause. Hopefully lots of fun, lots of good games. Hopefully we have a very nice turnout playing everything from Rock Band to Mario Party to Jackbox Party Pack to Wes and I got together yesterday and we're looking up horror games to play in the late night hours. And boy, did we find some good ones. Well, by good, I mean terrible 99-cent horror games that we're going to have some fun with. So definitely tune in at some point in those 24 hours. If you tune in there, you can see how you can donate and the website to go for that. So hopefully we get to see a lot of you there.
For sure. Well, and, you know, until a little bit from now, we will see you later.
You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.